Then could we read a verse this morning together? You can read the last verse in 2 Timothy, or the last verse in the book of Galatians, or the last verse in the letter to the Philemons, to Philemon. Take your pick. It's the same verse. So if you'd like to turn to Galatians chapter 5 and the last verse there, or 2 Timothy, the last verse in 2 Timothy, or the letter to Philemon, that last verse, you'll find it says the same thing. I'm not sure, but I think it's verbatim. I know the thought is the same, but I think the words are exactly the same also. And when the Apostle Paul wrote letters, I don't think there was ever a wasted letter, word, thought in any of his epistles. I think everything had a meaning to it. And when it found its way into the scriptures, every single word of these scriptures are for us and important to us. And so when it came time to signing off, and he's finished writing whatever it was that he wanted to write, he didn't just say later or ciao or whatever, but he always signed off with meaning. There was something to it, and I think that a lot of the sign-offs are some of the more important, or maybe the most important words in this whole epistle. Now, there are some wonderful words, and you know, who am I to say that this is more important than not more important? One word is not more important than another. But don't ever neglect his saying goodbye, and the words that he chooses to use, and the way that he says it. And in this one in particular, this prayer, and it is a prayer that he prays at the end of these epistles. And I think it's one of the most important and maybe the broadest prayer in the whole of Paul's letters. I know the prayers in Ephesians 1 and 3 and the one in Philippians and Colossians, and there's some wonderful prayers of the Apostle Paul that we all study sometimes. Let's look at Paul's prayers, and we look at them and we study them and we analyze them, and this is one that we rarely ever think to look at. And yet I think maybe it's as important, if not more important than all the others. What does he say? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Now I know there are times he says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And that's good too. But I appreciate this word, this kind of a prayer, where he prays for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ to be with your spirit. Now, what is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? Could anybody tell me? What is his grace? Your definition. What definition do you go by?
To do good for you, even when you do not good for him.
To do good for you. His grace is doing good for you even when you are not doing good for him. Okay, that's a good definition. Is that a homemade one? Yeah, that's pretty good though, isn't it? We got to remember that. And like 50 years from now at camp, somebody will get up and say, Brother Ken Collis once gave us this definition of grace, and we're going to remember that. What's your definition? Let's see if we'll remember yours. Linda?
His favor, even when we don't deserve it.
Okay. His favor, even when we don't deserve it. Somebody has said it's God's love for us in action. That's his grace. His love for us in action, giving us what we don't deserve and what we can't in ourselves achieve. It's his love in action. I'm glad it's not just his love in abstract. You know, I love you, and I'm not going to show you the ways that I love you, but I do love you. Just count on it. Just count it a done deal. No. God's love in action, giving to us what we don't deserve and what we can't achieve. That is his comfort or his peace or his joy, his deliverance, his protection, his direction. That's all part of his grace. I know Brother Gordon one time, I guess he simplified it for us And he said to us, God's grace is simply, you can change that word, and a synonym that he gave us was just help. It's God's help. God's help. The grace or the help of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. God's love in action to you, doing for you what you can't do, what you don't deserve to have done, and what you could never achieve or do in yourself. He extends himself to you. Thank God. When Jesus sought me and found me, I was way down deep in sin. And it was by God's grace. By grace you are saved. Through faith. That not of yourselves. No, I can't achieve. It is the gift of God. Not of works, because I can't achieve it by my works. And so I can't boast about what I did or what I can do or who I am or where I've been, because it's nothing to do with me at all. It's all grace, grace, God's grace, freely bestowed on those who believe, not just in the act of picking us out of the miry clay and saving us from our sin, but every single day there's an abundance of grace. Grace upon grace, is the way Paul puts it one place. And out of his fullness, out of the great love of God, so rich and pure, we receive grace, help that we desperately need. We receive comfort and peace and joy and mercy and kindness and victory and deliverance in his presence and so many things that are not of ourselves, that we could never earn, merit, or achieve, and certainly don't deserve. But we derive them because of his great love for us. That is God's grace, and how thankful we are, every one of us, I'm sure, for it. It's God's grace that takes the prime rib and a week later gives it back to us in shepherd's pie. That's not the frugal gourmet. I was thinking when you were talking, that's Raoul. He's good. All the cooks at camp, isn't that what you're taught to do? He's not here. Chan's not here. We must be having a good lunch. But that's God's grace. God's grace for me, for you. But Paul prays, this is a prayer, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. I like that full, whole name. I like every part of it. And you get to know every part of it and get to use every part of it. The Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, be with your spirit. I like that. I've come to appreciate that more and more. You know, we're intricate kind of people. We're spirit, soul, and body. And I know different, again, here we can go on definitions, and the difference between spirit and soul sometimes becomes blurred and it's flipped. I think it is well with my soul, really should be it is well with my spirit, but that's okay. I understand what was written and what we sing, and I love that song very, very much. And yet our body, we all get a hold of that. We know what that is. That's the part that when you pinch it, it says, ouch. And the tangible, visible part. But then somewhere within, wherever it is, we have a soul. And I guess the best way that I understand it, at least, is my soul is the part of me that I can't see it. It's my will. It's my personality. And everyone is different. Some of us, as we've heard, some of us are born dummies and remain that way. And some of us, our personalities are strong-willed, and some of us were more passive, and some are outgoing, and some are introverts. And so then we began to get into Megan's field, and we begin to analyze the psychology of an individual and a person. And is that what you do? And we figure out, you know, what this and how this intermingles. And that's okay. That's good. And that's that part of us, our soul. You might hear it said sometimes, usually not in a good sense of the word, that those people are soulish. That is, they're kind of driven and moved around by their own will and inner passions and likes, and it doesn't get any deeper than that. But there's another part of us, not just our body and our soul, but there's our spirit. And our spirit, I would say, is the deepest part of us. The spirit is the part in us that makes us different from everything. You know, your dog has a will. You ever get the other end of the leash and you know what your dog wants to do? Animals have wills. They even have personalities. I mean, you could figure your, you can analyze your own pet, but they have that, but they do not have a spirit. They don't have a spirit. Now, they may be spirited in that sense, but they don't have what we're talking about here. They don't have a spirit. That part of them is not part of the animal kingdom. It's part of God's human creation. You and I have a spirit. That deepest part of us that's different than our will and our personality, that God vacuum, if you want to call it that, that part of us that was made for God and can only be indwelt by God and can only be satisfied by God. And these spirits that we have been made because that are in us because we are made in the image of God, Paul prays for the Galatians or for Timothy or Philemon that God's help that you don't have in yourself, that you can't achieve by yourself, that God's love in action, that God's grace be with not just your body or your soul, that you feel good about yourself today, go get an ice cream, that's comfort food or whatever, but that God's grace has helped be with your spirit, that deepest part of you, that God gives you his help way down deep inside. You know, if your spirit is not well, if it's not right, you can be at Pilgrim Camp and be miserable. You can have all the money in the world and be miserable. You can be sailing on Lake Lucerne or someplace and be miserable. If there's misery in your spirit, nothing can really satisfy you. And so many people have so much, and their bodies prosper, and they're happy-go-lucky souls, but in their spirits, they're dour, they're sour, they're tainted, they're sinful, they're wicked, they're not satisfied, they've been hurt, and there are many people that are wounded in their spirits. That inner part, maybe by abuse of some sort, or shape or form, somehow or other, they're wounded in that deep part of themselves. And I don't know that any therapy or amount of counseling can really help them, at least not help them the way that God's grace can help them. God's grace can be with your spirit. You know, the Bible talks about angry spirits. Now, that gets into people, and they cultivate that, and over the years, people can just become angry for no reason at all. They're just angry people, and after a number of years, you read about people who go into Columbine or whatever it might be. Why do they do that? What happened all of a sudden? It didn't happen all of a sudden, but that spirit, that wounded spirit, that angry spirit. Some people are fearful. The Bible talks about a spirit of fear. God has not given you the spirit of fear. But there's a fear that John says brings torment. And there are people that, again, are incarcerated by that fear in their deepest, innermost part. There's a fear there, and you could try to make, again, them happy on the outside and give their body, give it a good massage. You can't massage that spirit of theirs. And you can go on and on. The Bible mentions in different places, different ways, there's an immoral, a sensual spirit that the Bible talks about that people are given over to, where their eyes are full of adultery. And everything they think of and look at and are, it's all wicked, it's all immoral, it's all sensual, it's all earthly, it's all devilish. And James says that's the wisdom of this world. And that's what the world ticks by. It goes on that clock. It's a wisdom that's human, that's earthly, that's devilish, James says. And Paul prays for Philemon. Prays for Timothy, prays for the Galatians, and he says, may the grace, that help of our Lord Jesus Christ, get way down deep into the depths of your being, and may his grace be with your spirit. Oh, I think of that sometimes. Lord, you want to get right down deep, way down deep into the innermost parts. And you want to dwell in the innermost parts. And you want to get a hold of me way in there. And that's where somebody yesterday talked about joy that comes from within. We sing about the purity within. We sing about the peace that is within. Oh, you can't find that anywhere else. Where does that come from? That's God's grace. And God's grace gives us a peace that passes understanding, or a joy in His presence, fullness of joy. We worship Him. What does it say in John 4? They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit. Not just in rote, not just in doing something by rote, but, oh, they worship Him out of their spirit. Your spirit and your soul and your body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord. Faithful is He who called you, who also will do it. And so I'm thankful for this prayer. I think it's a good prayer to pray. It's a good prayer to pray for ourselves and maybe to pray for others too. And that's why I guess it's in the Bible. I guess that's why Paul ended his epistle by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and said to Timothy and prayed for Timothy, "Oh, Timothy, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Philemon, you too, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the help that you don't deserve but you desperately need, that you can't achieve on your own, may that flood your soul and your spirit and take over your whole body, and may He live out His life within you from the spirit, through the soul, through the body, and present yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God." And I'm thankful this morning that God has grace. An abundance of grace. And when I'm a little bit, you know, I guess the old time word back in the day was melancholy. Melancholia, Sister Poster would talk about melancholia. I'm sure she just dreamt that up or made that word up. But I remember hearing, again, all of our ministers, when I was washing my car the other day and listening to... Oh, no, sorry. But I remember hearing those tapes, too. I remember hearing Uncle Hans. I remember hearing the others talk about the dumps. Do you remember that? Anybody old enough to remember hearing them talk about it? Don't go down into the dumps. And your Sister Mary's testifying about that wonderful experience of going to the dumps with Brother Rick. Not the garbage dumps, but the dumps are when you just feel like, you know, oh, yay, yay. What is the Jewish expression? Ives Mir? Or whatever it is. Ay, yay, yay, that kind of a thing. You know that I've heard said that in the faith homes in Zion, the Lord spoke to them one time and said, "You're defeated just by your sigh. Just by that, Ives Mir. Just by that, oh, I'm defeated." Yeah, just that sigh. God wants to have help for me in my spirit. He wants to lift my spirit. He wants to lift me out of the dumps. You in the dumps this morning? Poor me. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I might as well just go out and eat worms. You know, nobody cares. And you ever feel that way? They don't appreciate me. I scrubbed that table, I cleaned that floor, and that head cow, that head waitress, she walked right by me, she didn't even say thank you to me. They didn't pat me on the back or give me a button, and what do they do? And you get that, and then you get a critical spirit, and then you get a judgmental spirit, and then blah, 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 and it leads to that bitterness, and you're spent. And you know, people live for years with that kind of stuff in their spirit, but the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, my spirit. And when you feel those things coming on, again, going back, I can think of a few different stories. Let me just tell you one quick, because maybe you'll like this one. And you who have grown up around the fellowship have heard this told time and time again. But it was Brother Wannenmacher who was walking on the corner of Wabash and whatever the name of the street was there in Chicago. What was the cross street? You don't know the story well enough. Maybe they didn't know the cross street. They only heard the Wabash part. Is there Wabash or something like that? Well, he was walking with the suitcases. And he just felt a little bit, a little bit down, a little bit. And he said, "I put down my suitcases," and then what did he do? No, that's not what he did. I mean, he may have done that too, but that's not the way. You haven't heard the story? Where you guys been? He put down the suitcases and he said, "I jumped a good one." Now, what is that? A jump a good one. Hey, you local in La Cabeza, jump a good one on the corner of Wabash and whatever. Do that in New York City, you'll just fit right in. But I don't know about going on. But he jumped again. You know what that means? That means I got to get out of myself and into himself. I need his grace to lift me inside my spirit. And sometimes you need to jump a good one. Sometimes you need to just do whatever it takes to by the grace of God, by the grace of God, get the help that God wants to give to you. And maybe you've heard this one, and I'm going to close with, hey, you guys owe me a lot of time. Remember last night? So we're here till 11:30. Thank God I got liberty this morning. I'm going home tomorrow, so you'll be rid of me. But I won't take past the quarter of. 2 minutes. But Brother Edwin tells this story when he and Brother Wanamaker were riding the New York City subway system. And it was a hot day, and this was before trains were air conditioned, and you did perspire, and it was a little bit uncomfortable, and they were hanging on to, you know, how you do in the subway? Unless you really get smart and you decide, I can do this without this, and you feel like you're surfing, and until all of a sudden the guy does what you didn't think he was going to do, but they're hanging on, and they're going, and it's crowded, the subway, and Brother Edwin was over here, and Brother Wanamaker was over here, and Brother Wanamaker, all of a sudden, he looked at Brother Edwin, and he said, Edwin, praise the Lord! Well, Brother Edwin put his head down, wanted to make believe he didn't know this guy, but Brother Wanamaker wouldn't give up. Edwin, praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! So Edwin, to make sure that Brother Wanamaker would continue in that vein, looked back at Brother Wanamaker and said, praise the Lord! And hung on a loop. And that didn't satisfy Brother Wanamaker either. Sometimes you need to praise the Lord. Is it Brother Hunts that writes in Daily Manna that when we praise the Lord, we sometimes, it's like drilling through the rock. It's like getting or digging ourselves out of our melancholia. It's getting out of the dumps. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Or I will jump a good one. Or I will not take this thing, get off my back. I turn to the Lord and I take the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ to be with my spirit. And you know how many of us need that, all of us? And how often do we need His grace all the time? And He gives, and He gives, and out of His infinite riches in Jesus, He giveth, and He giveth, and He giveth. And then when I've reached the end of my hoarded resources, and I'm done before the day is half done, when I can't hold on any longer, my Father's full giving, it's only begun. And Lord, we thank You this morning that we can receive out of Your fullness grace upon grace. We need Your grace today. And so, Lord, we pray. We pray, Jesus, let the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with our spirits. Dear Lord, and where our spirits are wrinkled or crinkled or damaged or harmed or broken or wounded or whatever they may be, thank You for Your grace. Yes. Then Jesus came and set the captive free. Thank You, Lord, that You're here to come to every one of us and give to us the help that we're in need of this day. Bless us. Keep us in Your love. We ask it in Your name. Amen.